the rest of the story. $1.5 million worth of junk? That is what folks were saying about the proposed artwork, which was about to blight their otherwise fair city, a pile of meaningless metal, 7,000 tons of garbage. Seems all of the big towns in the United States and a growing number of small ones had something like it, a self-glorifying monument to some egocentric artist's dubious genius, a hunk of something or other, variously regarded as futuristic or revolutionary, a waste of space. They adorn or disturb, depending on one's viewpoint, city plazas and public buildings, outdoors and in, usually outdoors, where the most possible people may be either enthralled or disgusted. Many such modern sculptures have moving parts. Others are totally useless. One cannot practice medicine in our country without having proved medical school graduation. In law, it's the bar. And yet, what test, might we ask, must one pass to qualify as a modern artist? As one privileged to decorate public places at will. And that's just what these townspeople were wondering when the incredible announcement was made. What on earth this Gustav, whatever his name was, would smudge their nice, clean, clear home with some horrible industrial-looking so-called modern mess? Well, it was a committee that made the decision, naturally. A discerning one, too, the committee itself claimed. Indeed, they'd passed up a number of proposals before agreeing upon this one controversial one. They'd sought an artwork of well-defined character, they said, one which would stand out as an original masterpiece in the metals industry. Presumably, Gustav's tons of tin filled the bill. Complaints were informal in the beginning, mostly because few believed such an atrocity would ever be permitted. But when a site was officially chosen and creation of the monstrosity actually began, there was heard an uproar unprecedented in those parts. Even the culturally elite, including legitimate artists, were vociferously indignant. In fact, 47 such composed and signed a vehement protest addressed to the Chief of Public Works. The scathing letter began, "Writers, painters, sculptors, architects, passionate lovers of the heretofore intact beauty of this fair city, we come to protest." It was more than a citywide matter. The taste of the entire nation had been betrayed, they said. The art and the history of the whole country had been threatened, they said. Useless, they declared. Monstrous, others said. This thing some called a horror would dishonor and disfigure their city forever after. A factory chimney. Can you imagine that, crushing everything beneath its barbarous mass? It was a very long letter, including all of that scathing denunciation, which in the end accomplished nothing because the strange, controversial project was completed. For the Grand Exposition of 1889, it was completed. Some citizens left the city. A few left the country because of it. A few left the country because of it. And yet, on the whole, the people of Paris did learn to live with what at first had seemed such a humiliation, a thousand-foot tower conceived and constructed by an artist-architect named Gustav Eiffel. Paul Harvey, are you talking about the Eiffel Tower? I'm talking about the Eiffel Tower. And the rest of the story.